Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 33. And I read for you the beginning of verse 7 from the original Hebrew text, where Yahweh says to Ezekiel, "So, son of man, I have given you to be one watching closely for the house of Israel." This is our text. Now, I know we all have some history, some connection to the concept of chores. Whether you are on the receiving end of a list of chores as a child, or on the giving end as a parent. It can be a real battle of wills sometimes, a tension between the have-tos and the I wish I didn't have-tos, as well as a constant longing on both sides for the I can't wait-tos. If you're a child, the burden can sure seem overwhelming at times. It can feel like all you ever hear mom and dad say is, do this and don't do that. Clean the table, take out the garbage, do your homework, clean up after the dog. It's as if your entire life is nothing but an endless list of have-tos that, number one, you just don't want to do, and number two, don't really seem important according to your own list of life priorities. And yet, for the loving father or mother, having to hand out the have-tos is no fun either. Frankly, there are a lot of things parents would much rather say and do than spending their time holding their children accountable to the have-tos. But sometimes, the have-tos are a necessary part of parenting, for the good of the child, for the good of the family, and even for the glory of God. Life has its shares of want-tos and have-tos. It's an endless tension between the things we can't wait to do and the things that we must do as a member of the family, both your blood family, but even more, the family of God. Well, today in our Old Testament reading, we engage with God's calling to his prophet Ezekiel. And frankly, if you are looking for a happy-go-lucky, exciting, upbeat message from Scripture today, you're going to be just a little bit disappointed. Because we run into a predicament. At first glance, this message sounds like nothing but a list of one unpleasant chore after another. God gives Ezekiel and us a list of unpleasant, hard-to, have-tos. But if we look closely, we see one very loving, very wonderful, can't-wait-to as well. And that's what it means to be in the family of God, our Father. Because of his unparalleled love for us all, he has appointed us, his children, to some very important have-tos, so that we and countless others might receive his one gracious can't-wait-to. Now, most children bristle when their mom or dad says, once you complete your chores, then you can do something fun. But that's most often the case in life. The have-tos have to come before the can't-wait-tos. So here's the first have-to in our text today. One that is both for us and even for God himself. The children have to repent. And the father has to do what's necessary to bring us to repentance. Because after all, no sinner, not one sinner, can repent of his or her sins without God first giving him or her the ability to do so. Ezekiel and God's family of Israel had been carried off into captivity by the Babylonians at the time of this text. They were living far away from home because they had turned their back on God. They had refused to live according to the have-tos of what it means to be in the family of those whom God has saved from sin. To be honest, it's hard for us here in our day and age to imagine being in exile, where a person has been torn away from home. Perhaps we can get a little bit of a picture of that suffering from stories that we have seen and heard. It is, for example, the image of a refugee camp in a war-torn country, desperate souls staggering away from famine, persecution, and poverty. They don't belong, yet they can't go home. Not only is the concept of home distorted, but also the idea of family. This was the setting for Ezekiel and Judah, far away from home, because God had to send them there. We need to understand, he surely didn't want to do this to his children. No loving parent wants to discipline their children, their pride and joy. But it was what he had to do to bring them to repentance. And now, by the time of this text, God's family was nothing of the holy nation he had graciously made them to be. Ever since God brought them out of Egypt into their own promised land, they had rebelled constantly and continually. Though he showed them his saving love and his infinite power over the mightiest forces on earth, like Pharaoh in the Red Sea, and the Philistines against Goliath, as well as all of the other nations' so-called gods, like Baal with Elijah on Mount Carmel and Ra, they still would not honor and worship and obey God as the loving Father who knew what was best for them. They broke all of the Ten Commandments daily, worshiping the idols of their neighboring nations, selfishly bickering and fighting with each other as brothers and sisters, lying and cheating, never being satisfied with all that Yahweh had provided for their daily bread, protection, and happiness as his children. God brought them into his promised land of milk and honey, where they lived in the glory and wealth of David and Solomon's empire, where they had a personal relationship with Yahweh. But they threw it all away like a stubborn, ungrateful child. And so God warned them over and over. He sent prophets like Samuel and Nathan and Elijah and Isaiah, and now he sends Ezekiel. It's not like they didn't know better. God never wanted them to lose his blessings. But finally, God had to bring the evil nation of Babylon against them with all of its sufferings. It was his necessary, sternest call yet to repentance. He gave them the ability to repent. He gave them warning after warning, chance after chance. And my dear children of God, he has done the same with each one of us here this morning, with every member of his beloved family of believers. And so this is our first have to as members of the family. As God's children, we must repent if we are to remain his children. To do otherwise is to turn away from his gift of salvation, to reject his love and mercy. We cannot willingly remain in our sin and still receive God's blessings. It's just not how the family works. And so we can't worship our own idols of self and money and busyness. We can't ignore God's command to put Him first in every aspect of our lives. We cannot refuse to live as God's family and still expect to be God's family. He warns us in His own word, like right here in this text today, that we must repent. It is a have to for us. And it is a loving have to that God has given Himself. Because He doesn't want to do the other thing that becomes a have to if we refuse to repent. And that is to send us into eternal exile in hell, if we die in that state of rebellion and unrepentance. Hebrews 9 verse 27 tells us clearly, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And this is why God is constantly appointing people like Ezekiel, like his pastors and his people in his Christian family, to another have to. You see, He set up His family with this crucial but loving chore, where the children have to call other children to repent. In the original Hebrew, it literally couches this have to, though, in the language of a gift. In verse 7, God says to Ezekiel, I have given you to be one watching closely for the house of Israel. Now, try to picture how this all went down. Ezekiel is just hanging out with the exiles in Babylon when suddenly heaven opens up and God speaks. God makes him His child and gives him the role of watchman for His family. Ezekiel's story, though, begins much earlier than our text, and it's far from easy, this task that God gives to him. It's an unpopular and odd job. His wife dies, and Ezekiel is told not to mourn. He lies on his side for days. He eats bread that's baked over dung and builds little models for the sake of his message. All of this is an example of his role as watchman. And frankly, it's a job that Ezekiel would never have chosen. But he has no choice. It is a must. A have to. And let's just be honest. It's not a job any one of us would ever choose. But God also chooses and appoints us as watchmen. And like Ezekiel, you and I have no choice. It is a gift as a member of the family. A have to. There are only two categories of believers, of the children in God's family. We are either those who have repented and continue to repent when we sin, or those who have and are refusing to repent. So for we who have heeded God's call to repent, God says in verse 7, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Now I know it sounds scary, but did you notice God says we must give them the warning from God? It is a have to for us, but it is God's gift for them, even if they do not want to hear it. God is clearly, in verse 8, saying this is not optional for us. If we, quote, do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, God says, his blood will be required, his blood I will require at your hand. I know it's scary and intimidating, but my dear brothers and sisters, it is the loving thing to do for the family. If you see that your neighbor's house is burning, you are going to warn them to get out of the house if you can, right? I hope you are. And if you see, as we talked about with the children, if you see your child reaching for that boiling pot on the stove, you are going to do all that you can to keep her from getting burned. So it is when a member of God's family is rebelling against His word or actively refusing to forgive another, just as God has forgiven him in Christ or the like. We do not want them to be eternally condemned and out of the family. All of us were called to this task when we were baptized into God's family. It's there that we, like Ezekiel, received God's gift, that we became His children by grace. It's there that God also gave us the loving role as watchmen, each one of us lovingly watching over another. But He is always the one who is at work in and through us. Our chore, our have to, is not, listen well, our chore, our have to, is not to save anyone else, but only to remain faithful in witnessing to God's truth. If your attempts are rejected, you have still obeyed your father. And verse 9 says, quote, "You will have delivered your soul," unquote. Not that you have saved yourself. Only God can do that. But you have not entered into unrepentance yourself like the other person. So why? Why is this family chore such a must, such a have to? Because by it, God then opens the way to the one thing that He can't wait to do. And that is to forgive His children when they repent. And then bring them back into His loving arms. You see, it's only two verses after our text in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." He never wants to see any of his family in exile. Eternal punishment in hell is never, never God's desire for any soul that He has created. And that's why He did the have to of giving up His own Son into death on the cross. Because our Father can't wait to forgive us all. Jesus' once for all sacrifice for all souls, for all time, for all sins, past, present, and future, paid for them all. Everything is ready. He can't wait to give the blessings of that forgiveness to you and you and you and you and everyone of His children. And that's exactly what He did for us in His saving work of baptism. That's why He gives you and me the have to of calling others to repentance. Because in love, as our Father, He can't wait to forgive. Look, I'm no dummy. Well, I am sometimes, but I'm no dummy this time. I know this text is tough. I know when we first hear it, we think there's no way we could ever call others to repent. It makes us all wonder, in fact, why we ever complained when we think of this chore, why we ever complained at the have-to chore of loading the dishwasher. I mean, who wants a job where rejection is almost a given? But when we consider that God gave someone else in the family the have to of calling you and me to repentance, so that he could do what he couldn't wait to do in our baptism or through his word, forgiving us, making us his child forever. We then realize that, oh, rejection is not always the outcome. Just look at our own lives. Just as he gives us life forever, for free. So he's the one who empowers us all in our calling. He's the one who goes with us into the face of rejection, who brings us even to see him face to face on the day of his final return. Oh, that's the great can't wait to for us, isn't it? But also for our loving Father. And so all of us in the family, we pray with John at the end of Revelation, in Revelation 22, verse 20. Come, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.